right where Brother Gerald was talking at 103, Psalm 103, verse 13, it says, like as the Father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. What's been on my heart for the last few days, we've been out in Disney for the last few days, man, and you see relationships between parents and children. And some of the relationships were good and seemed like they were going really well, and some of them, you could tell there was a strain in that relationship. And we were on the cruise ship, and a mother and a father and a young girl, probably about 15 years old, I guess, got into an argument, and I was trying to gather. We were sitting there eating at the buffet, and they got into a big argument, kind of fussing with each other, and I was trying to gather my kids up and get them away from what was going on. And every time I moved, that woman and her daughter followed right behind us. Man, every time I'd pick my kids up and we'd move and we'd try to go this way, and the next thing I knew, that woman was right behind me, following me. And I move them this way, and the next thing I knew, she was following right behind me. And the daughter was standing there, and the mother was just tearing into her. Man, just lighting into her like crazy, because she had done something she shouldn't have done, and she didn't know where she was, and she was worried about her. I mean, it was understandable why she was doing it, but as it was all happening, I said, Lord, why can't I get away from this? Yeah, and I said, what are you trying to show me? What is it that you... Because I was trying to get away from it, trying to get my kids away from it, because I didn't want them to have to experience that. But, and then we get to the airport, and something real similar, the same thing. A young man, probably about 17 years old, and his dad, you could tell they were sitting there eating. We were eating, and they were just two tables over from us, and they got to arguing between them. And he says, I just want to grow up, Dad. I just want to grow up. I want to be an adult. And the dad said, fine. And the dad handled it pretty well, I thought. I mean, my blood would have started boiling the way that he came across. But the dad packed up all the stuff, and he left that boy just sitting there at the table and said, we'll see you at the gate. And the daughter and the husband and wife, they got up and they walked away. But since then, what's been on my heart, and this is going to be real quick, Lord willing, is over in Ephesians chapter 6, starting there at the very beginning, and it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And then he changes over to the fathers. So just before that in Ephesians, he was talking to the husbands and to the wives. And Brother Gerald gave us the instructions and to what to do with the husbands and the wives, and how we're to live in harmony and peace with one another. And Paul was given instructions to the husbands and the wives just a few verses before that in Ephesians chapter 5, right at the end. And then he swaps over to the children and the parents and the relationship between the children and the parents. And the reason that these relationships are so important is because the marriage relationship is an example of how Christ loves us. So, and learning how to live in a marriage relationship is so important, because it helps us understand the relationship that Christ has for us. So the same thing is true with a parent-child relationship, because we are His children. And if we have become a child of God, we are in a parent-child relationship with our Heavenly Father. And the reason that it is so important for us as children to learn, not even just as children, but as young men and young women and adolescents, to learn how to obey our parents and those that are put over us in the Lord, is because it begins to train our mind how to be obedient to our Heavenly Father when it's time for us to be obedient to our Heavenly Father. So I'm going to read that one more time. And it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise. And so that commandment, he's referring back to one of the Ten Commandments where he says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, and that it may be well with thee and that thou may live long on the earth." Then he talks to the fathers and he says, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And as Brother Gerald was talking about his brother Kenny, what struck me about that conversation was when that preacher that was there delivering that word, and he went back there to his brother Kenny. His brother Kenny didn't feel like going to the altar. He didn't want to go to the altar. He was aggravated. He had put walls up and he didn't want to go to the altar anymore. But that pastor went to him and he said, "Honor your father. Honor your father." And that father had put up prayers over and over and over again for that son. He had put them up for all of his children, but for that son in particular, he had put up prayers over and over again. And he honored his father by coming down there. And when he did, by being obedient to that, so the point I think that I'm trying to get across and that he's wanting to get across is, be obedient. Learn as a young person. Learn as a young person how to be obedient even when you don't want to be obedient. Learn to be obedient even when you don't want to, because listen, there are times that the God of glory calls us to do things that we do not want to do. Okay, Brother Gerald, when he got up this morning, he wasn't feeling good and didn't really want to come out. Brother Lonnie, the same thing. Their bodies are hurting. They're tired. They didn't want to get up and come out, but they were being obedient to their Heavenly Father. And by being obedient, they are honoring their Father. And through being obedient to their Father, He is merciful to them. Not only is He merciful, but He's gracious to them and pours out. Just like Brother Lonnie said, he said, "When I got up here and I started to talk and just walk around," he said, "I got to feel a little bit more strength and a little bit more adrenaline that I couldn't feel before." But so the only other thing that's going to be real quick is the relationship between a father and his child. And I want you to think about the relationship. Jesus gives us a parable, and I'm just going to read this, and I may just get out of the way because I know we've been here a long time. But this is the parable of the lost son, and it's in Luke chapter 15. And he says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me,' and he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?'" This is a story of a young man who was not obedient to his father. He essentially told his father, "You are dead to me. Give me my inheritance now, and I'm going to go and live my life the way that I think I know how to live it better than you can tell me how to live it. I'm going and I'm going to be disobedient to you and do what I want to do when I want to do what I want to do." And when that happened, for a little while, he had a good time. While the money was there, he was living it up and having a blast. But then there came a famine in the land. and he lost all his money, and he had to go get a job working with feeding pigs, which for a Jewish boy, that was the lowest of low of having to feed pigs, because pigs were an unclean animal to the Jews, and you weren't even supposed to be around them or touch them. And for them to have to feed pigs, that was the lowest of low that they could possibly be in. But then he says in verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. So the father, you may be in a situation where you have gone out and decided, I want to live my life the way that I want to live my life, and I am going to do what I want to do. You may have gone out into that situation in your life, and the father may be allowing you to go out and do that out of love for you to get to the place where God's mercy can be extended enough to you that you will finally come to yourself. And when you are down in that place where you realize that all of this stuff that I'm doing on my own, all of these things that I want to do on my own have brought me no lasting enjoyment. It's only lasted for just a few short minutes. And then after that's all gone, you realize, Lord, I am miserable. I am miserable where I am. I've gotten myself in a mess. I've lost all my money. All my friends are gone. I have nothing else left. And when you get to that place, then the mercy of God and the grace of God can begin to speak to you in your heart. And when you think you've gone too far, when you think that you might have given up on yourself, it's possible that you have even given up on yourself. But that father in this story was still there watching and waiting, just waiting for that child and saying, he was out there looking for that child. I'm waiting for my child to come back home. And when he saw that child, but when he was yet a great way off, when the son was a great way off, his father saw him out there in the distance. And he had compassion on him. And he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. So that father saw him a long way off. He was looking for him. The whole time he was gone, no doubt that father was praying for him, just like Brother Gerald's dad had been praying for that son Kenny while he was out there wallowing in that muck in the mire. He was praying for his son the whole time. His love never wavered, and that love might not have come through in him. Your dad probably didn't run after and try and get him out of everything that he did wrong. He probably let him sit there. Who was it, Brother Jelani, that one of them said, oh, you got yourself in that jail, you get yourself out. I think it was Brother Jerry Brown has said that about his mama, I think, if I'm not mistaken. He said, but you allow them to sit there and let the Lord begin to teach them in their minds just for a little while till they realize that there is nothing else that is any more precious than the good Holy Ghost. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. That's repentance. That is a portion of repentance right there. When you go down and you come down to this altar, you come to your heavenly Father and say, Father, I have sinned against you. I've sinned against my family and I want forgiveness. I want you to forgive me of what I have done. Forgive me of the things that I have done and forgive me, Lord. I don't ever want to go out and do any of these things ever again. I pray, give me that Holy Ghost that you will keep me from going into this ever again. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. One final thing. That my children, they go out and get into stuff when they grow up. And I know that they are in a life and death situation. And it's not a situation of them learning something, but they need me. Not, they need me to come and save them and to rescue them. I will risk life and limb and everything I got to go. Doesn't matter the amount of money, doesn't matter the amount of time, the amount of distance, the love that a parent has for their child. We know the difference, Brother Langston, when it's they're learning, and there's times we have to let them learn some things, that we have to let them go through some stuff, because sometimes you can learn by watching other people, but some of us are just hard-headed and we won't learn any other way than just us having to experience it ourselves. And that happens to us sometimes. We're just hard-headed sometimes, but God still loves you. He still loves you. And when it comes down to a life or death situation and they are in peril, that they are about to perish from this world, there is nothing that would stop me from going and running after them with everything that I have to bring them back in and to protect them. And just before Jesus gives us this parable of the lost son, in verse 4, he says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. That Father up in heaven is coming after you with all he has. He's letting you learn your lesson. He's letting you waller out there in the muck and the mire for just a little while, and he's letting you make a mess of your life. But he is not so far off that he won't come running after you when you decide to repent. And it first takes you coming to yourself in your mind, and it's that grace of God being poured down upon you and speaking to you in your mind and saying, don't you realize? Don't you see how miserable you are? Can't you see how miserable you are? And when you come to yourself right there, go running back to your heavenly Father, and he is right there waiting with open arms. Repent. Confess to him. Tell him. Tell him just exactly what you did. Don't tell me. I don't want to know all your sins. There's sins in my life I don't want you knowing about. And it's not between me and you. You don't have any business knowing what was in my past life. It's between you and your heavenly Father. Confess those sins to the Lord, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he is there waiting for you with open arms. He is looking for you, and he is is coming after you saying, come back home. Come back home. Thank God. Come back home to the family where you belong. Come back home, and I'm going to wrap you up with a white robe. I'm going to put shoes on your feet, and I'm going to give you a golden ring, and I'm going to make you not just a servant, but a part of the family of God. And that is the desire that we have for you, is to learn when we are raising up our children, we desire to bring you up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and that we will train you up in the way that you should go, so that when you are old, you will not depart from it, that those seeds will be set down in your heart, that you can learn how to be obedient when it comes time to be obedient to the Lord, so you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, because you cannot have the Holy Ghost without being obedient and being submissive to the Lord. You have to learn how to be obedient and submissive to the Lord for Him to pour out His Holy Ghost upon you. Brother, that's all I have. I'm going to get out of the way. I love the Lord and I'm thankful. Brother Gerald, I thank you for what you sent today. I believe that there were several pieces of what He sent that went to several different places. And I listened as it went, and some of it, I believe I know exactly where it went, and then others, I don't know where it went, but I know that the Word of God will not go out void. It will not return unto the Lord void. It will accomplish what it was God sent out for it to accomplish. And I believe that the Lord sent Brother Gerald, and I am so thankful for that. Brother Lonnie, I'm going to get out of the way. I love the Lord, and I'm thankful for His goodness.